Welcome to today's deep dive. If you are holding a controller right now, or maybe you've got your gaming rig humming in the background, you might want to brace yourself.
Yeah, you really do.
Because we are zeroing in on a period of time that is honestly already being universally dubbed the bloodiest month in gaming history. I am talking, of course, about March 2026.
It is going to be brutal.
It really is. Your schedule is in danger, your free time is in danger, and quite frankly, your wallet is in absolute peril. Today, we are working from this incredibly comprehensive strategic guide put together by system architect Majid Ghorbanezhad.
Right, which is just a massive document.
Huge. And the entire mission of this deep dive is to hand you a survival map for the sheer onslaught of titles dropping this month. Okay, let's unpack this, because we aren't just looking at a few big releases here. We are looking at a tidal wave.
That is honestly the perfect way to describe it, a tidal wave. When you look at the data that was compiled in the guide, the sheer density of this single month is staggering.
Yeah.
We are not just seeing a busy period for one specific console. This is an industry-wide battleground. I mean, we have flagship releases crossing the PS5, the Xbox Series X and S, PC, the brand new Switch 2, and even the mobile market.
All at the same time.
Right. It's a synchronized strike on every platform available,
yeah.
Which is, you know, it's incredibly rare to see this level of congestion.
It really is. And the chaos kicks off immediately. Week one, running from March 3rd to the 5th, brings out what the guide calls the high-stakes openers.
The heavy hitters right out the gate.
Exactly. But the absolute star of this first week has to be Marathon, dropping on March 5th for PS5, Xbox, and PC. This is Bungie's massive sci-fi extraction shooter.
Yeah.
And for anyone who hasn't jumped into that specific genre yet, an extraction shooter is basically high-stakes hide-and-seek. You drop into a hostile map, scramble for valuable loot, and try to survive against other players to extract with your gear. If you die before you get out,
you lose everything.
You lose everything you brought with you. It is stressful.
It is. And what's fascinating here is the critical reception floating around this release. The industry consensus right now is calling it Tarkov meets Destiny.
Which is a wild combination.
It is. And you have to understand the massive risk Bungie is taking here. They are stepping into a highly competitive, completely unforgiving multiplayer space. Their entire post-Destiny reputation is essentially resting on this single launch.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure there.
Definitely. But the potential reward is equally massive. If they nail the gunplay, which, you know, historically is Bungie's strongest asset, Marathon could easily run away with the title of PvP Game of the Year.
That is a massive if, though, right?
Yeah.
Given the incredibly rocky road Destiny has had over the last couple of years, do we really think players are just going to blindly trust Bungie on day one?
Probably not everyone, no.
Right. The guide seems to suggest that if you're a diehard fan, sure, jump in. But for everyone else, maybe wait a few days to see if the servers actually hold up and the gameplay loop feels fair.
Exactly. It's a wait and see for the general audience. But moving from high-stress sci-fi to the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, total opposite.
Right. March 5th also brings what industry analysts are calling the first true system seller for the Switch 2.
Pokemon Pocopia.
Yes. And a system seller is exactly what it sounds like. It's a game so compelling that people will go out and buy the new hardware just to play it.
Just saying the name Pocopia makes me smile, honestly. It's an exclusive Nintendo social life simulator set entirely in the Pokemon universe.
It's such a brilliant concept.
It really is.
Yeah.
Imagine the relaxing community-building vibe of Animal Crossing. But instead of random animal villagers asking you for fruit, every single resident in your town is a Pokemon.
Right.
You are building a reputation, you are forging bonds with these creatures, and you are exploring the world completely at your own pace. No gyms, no Elite Four, just pure vibes.
The business implications of this pivot are just phenomenal. Analysts are forecasting a staggering 15 million copies sold by the end of the year alone.
15 million? That's absurd.
It is. But when you look at the broader strategy Nintendo laid out during their recent events, they are treating this as foundational for the new hardware's ecosystem. If you own a Switch 2, this is essentially an absolute necessity.
I can already see my free time completely vanishing.
Oh, for sure.
But if you are more of a PC gamer, March 3rd brings a titan back to the forefront. World of Warcraft. Midnight.
A massive release.
Yeah, this is being hailed as the biggest expansion for the MMO since Wrath of the Lich King. They're taking players back to Quel'Thalas, bringing the narrative focus heavily back to the Blood Elves. But here is what caught my eye in the guide.
The cutscenes.
Yes. They're promising that every single main quest will feature full cinematic cutscenes. How is a massively multiplayer online game of this scale even going to pull that off technically?
It is a massive technical and narrative leap, for sure. Historically, MMOs rely heavily on text boxes and static character models to deliver quests just because of the sheer volume of content.
Right, there's just too much dialogue.
Exactly. So shifting to fully directed cinematics for the main path indicates a massive budget and a real desire to compete with premium single-player RPGs on a storytelling level.
That is wild.
Mm-hmm.
And alongside that, on PC, hitting early access on March 5th, we have Slay the Spire 2.
Another huge deal.
Right, which means you can buy in and play while the developers are still actively adding content and tweaking the balance. It's bringing back that classic roguelike deck builder loop where you build a custom deck of cards from scratch every single run, but they are adding a franchise first, cooperative multiplayer.
Which completely changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
Deck builders are traditionally deeply solitary mathematical experiences.
Very solitary.
All right, so introducing a partner means coordinating synergies and honestly, likely arguing over who gets to play the optimal card.
Oh, the arguments are going to be legendary. You just know it.
Absolutely.
Rounding out that first week, we have a nostalgic bomb dropping across all platforms. Legacy of Kain. Defiance Remastered. We are talking about the 2004 classic brought back to life on March 3rd in 4K resolution, running at a silky 60 frames per second with a fully re-recorded orchestral score.
It looks beautiful.
It does. But the guide is very specific here. It's classic Soul Reaver action in a deeply gothic vampire world, but it is deeply linear. Modern gaming has really trained us to expect massive open worlds.
Right.
So if you love tight, focused action-adventure games, grab it. If you hate being forced down a specific path, maybe skip it.
That is a crucial distinction. And it brings us nicely to week two, from March 12th to the 16th, which takes a remarkably different tonal shift. We move from sci-fi shooters and social simulators straight into nostalgic nightmares and chaotic co-op.
Let me set the stage for you here, because things are about to get genuinely terrifying. March 12th brings the Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly Remake to all major consoles and PC. Majid's Guide makes a point to call this one of the greatest horror games in history, completely rebuilt from the ground up.
The defining element of Fatal Frame has always been the camera obscura mechanic, and it is just a masterclass in psychological horror.
It really is.
In a traditional horror game, if you see a monster, your instinct is to run away or shoot it from as far away as possible. Fatal Frame doesn't let you do that.
No. It forces you to do the exact opposite.
Exactly. To defeat the ghosts, you have to look through the lens of an antique camera, let them get uncomfortably close, and photograph them right as they attack to deal maximum damage.
It forces you to stare directly at the thing that terrifies you.
Right.
And for this remake, they haven't just updated the graphics. They have implemented modern controls, expanded the underlying lore of the village, and added entirely new ghost encounters.
Which is great for returning players.
Yeah. And there is actually a direct mandate in the guide for this one. You must play this game with headphones on. The audio design, the whispers, the creaking floorboards is so crucial to the terror that playing it on your TV speakers is just doing yourself a disservice. I'm pretty sure I'll be leaving all the lights on in my house for this one.
I don't blame you at all. But if you need to lower your heart rate, the very next day, March 13th, offers a very different kind of monster experience, Monster Hunter Stories 3. Twisted Reflection launches across all platforms.
Now, this is a JRPG spinoff, a Japanese role-playing game, which means it trades the real-time heavy action of the main series for something much more narrative-focused.
Right.
And I love the twist here, because instead of hunting the monsters, tracking them down, and turning them into a nice new pair of boots, you are actually taming and riding them. The roster for this game is massive, drawing creatures directly from Monster Hunter, World, and the recent Monster Hunter.
Well, it is a brilliant design pivot. When you fundamentally shift the player's relationship with the creatures from antagonist and prey to companion and mount, it requires a completely different design approach to the world, the narrative, and the progression systems.
It changes everything.
It really does. You aren't just memorizing attack patterns anymore. You are building team synergies. It is the biggest narrative campaign the spinoff series has ever attempted.
Week 2 also brings a massive wave of cooperative chaos, and we really need to give these titles some breathing room because there is a lot of fun to be had here. On March 12th, we get John Carpenter's Toxic Commando.
Yes.
Yes, the legendary horror director John Carpenter. This is a four-player zombie co-op game, very much in the vein of Left 4 Dead, but it is absolutely dripping with 80s cinematic horror aesthetics and the kicker. It features signature synth music composed by Carpenter himself.
Having that level of auteur influence on a cooperative shooter is incredibly rare. It elevates what could have been a standard zombie survival game into something with a very distinct stylized identity.
Exactly. Then on March 13th, the wrestling fans get their moment with WWE 2K26. Looking at the data here, it's clear the franchise is trying to bounce back hard from a pretty lukewarm reception to 2K25.
They needed a win.
Definitely. They're going all in on nostalgia with an unprecedentedly detailed showcase mode focused entirely on the Attitude Era. We're talking Stone Cold, The Rock, Mankind, recreating those iconic late 90s matches with modern graphics.
Nostalgia is a powerful tool, especially in sports entertainment.
Oh, absolutely.
And to finish out the mid-month co-op releases, March 16th gives us Starship Troopers, Ultimate Bug War. This takes the cult classic sci-fi film and turns it into a massive 16-player online co-op game.
16 players. Can you even imagine the logistical nightmare of coordinating 16 people in a voice chat while hundreds of giant alien bugs are swarming your base?
It's going to be loud.
It sounds like absolute glorious chaos. The guide notes it offers solid, reliable fun, even if it isn't necessarily going to redefine the shooter genre.
It acts as a great palate cleanser, honestly, because week three is where the tone shifts entirely towards the heavy, industry-defining titans.
Here's where it gets really interesting, March 19th. Circle that date on your calendar. First up is Crimson Desert, hitting PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Majid's Guide boldly asks if this might be the absolute game of the month.
It has a strong case.
It does. This is the long-awaited dark medieval fantasy action RPG from Pearl Abyss, finally seeing the light of day after years of delays.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Crimson Desert is a fascinating case study in studio evolution. It clearly shares some structural DNA with Pearl Abyss's previous work, specifically their massive multiplayer hit, Black Desert.
Right.
But they have made the very deliberate choice to strip away the MMO elements. They are delivering a fully single-player, deeply narrative-driven experience. The open-world scale is reportedly aiming to directly compete with the vastness of Elden Ring, and the combat is described as incredibly fluid and violent.
But because it's the most anticipated non-franchise title of 2026, it carries an incredibly high risk. It doesn't have a built-in sequel audience like a Final Fantasy or a Zelda.
No, it doesn't.
It has to prove itself purely on its own merits. It has an incredibly high ceiling, but if the open world feels empty, it could stumble hard.
That is the gamble with new intellectual properties. And arriving on that exact same day, March 19th, is another massive title, though this one is specifically targeting the PC audience, Death Stranding 2. On the Beach is finally making its way to PC after its PS5 exclusivity window.
Hideo Kojima's mind-bending sequel is getting the premium PC treatment. Mm-hmm. We are talking about the inclusion of Photo Mode Pro, every single piece of post-launch DLC bundled right in, and full ultra-wide monitor support.
Which is huge for this game.
Honestly, for a game that is so heavily focused on traversing vast, lonely cinematic landscapes, playing this on an ultra-wide monitor with maxed-out PC hardware is probably the definitive way to experience Kojima's vision.
It really is. The hardware capabilities of modern PCs enhance those core themes of isolation and eventual connection that the game explores. It is a remarkable day for PC players to get both Crimson Desert and Death Stranding 2 simultaneously.
Week 4, running from March 26th to the 31st, brings a huge emotional shift. March 26th gives us Life is Strange Reunion.
A lot of fans have been waiting for this.
Years. This is the moment they've been waiting for. Max and Chloe are finally back together for the first time since before the storm, navigating the aftermath of Arcadia Bay post-tornado. It is a deeply emotional, choice-driven narrative where your decisions permanently alter the story.
And while Life is Strange is focusing on deep, isolated emotional choices, Nintendo is taking the exact opposite approach on the very same day. They are dropping Super Mario Bros. Wonder Switch 2 Edition.
Right, and this isn't just a simple resolution bump for the beloved 2D platformer. They are actively utilizing the upgraded power of the Switch 2 to introduce a truly innovative social layer called Meetup Mode.
It's a game changer.
It allows up to 100 players to exist in a live, simultaneous session within a hub called Bellabelle Park. Can you even imagine the visual of 100 different Marios, Luigis, and Toads all jumping around the same screen at once? The sensory overload is going to be hilarious.
It takes a traditional platforming experience and injects a massive social ecosystem right into the middle of it. The structural engineering required to make 100 players interact smoothly in a Mario engine is wild, and it completely justifies buying the upgrade if you already own the new console.
Wrapping up the console releases on March 31st is Legacy of Kain: Ascendance. Now, to be clear, this is not a remaster like we saw in week one. This is a brand new true sequel set 500 years after the events of Defiance.
Right.
But given that massive gap in real-world time since the last game, the guide wisely advises to wait for the reviews on this one. You never know how a studio is going to handle a beloved franchise after decades of dormancy.
We also absolutely have to highlight the incredible ambition happening in the mobile market this month. The guide points to four massive titles that show how far smartphone gaming has evolved. On March 10th, Subnautica, Below Zero Mobile arrives.
That's a big deal.
Bringing a complex underwater survival game to a touchscreen without it feeling incredibly clunky is a massive UI design challenge, but they've apparently optimized it beautifully.
Then on March 23rd comes The Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah.
Origin. The guide flat out calls this the most ambitious mobile action RPG of 2026. They are putting a massive, fully explorable open world right in your pocket. It really blurs the line between a console experience and a phone game.
Following that, on March 26th, we see the scale pushed even further with Mongol. Stardive, which blends deep action RPG mechanics with monster rearing systems. And Cookie Run. Oven Smash brings a full-scale party brawler designed specifically for fans of that universe. The mobile landscape is no longer just puzzle games. These represent a massive leap in mechanical depth.
So what does this all mean? We have laid out the entire battlefield. How are you actually supposed to navigate this without going bankrupt or giving up sleep entirely? Majid Gurbanizhad has provided what he calls the ultimate take-in-game command center recommendation to help you budget. Let's break down the math.
The platform breakdown really puts the density of this month into perspective. If you are on a PS5 or an Xbox Series X or S, you are looking at over 10 major titles. The absolute best picks there are Marathon, Crimson Desert, and Monster Hunter Stories 3.
Got it.
If you are a PC player, you are facing an onslaught of over 15 major titles. The simultaneous launch of Crimson Desert and Death Stranding 2 on PC alone is a lethal combination for your free time.
For the Switch 2 owners, you have 7 major titles to look at, but honestly, Pokemon Pocopia alone justifies owning the hardware and will probably consume your entire month. And as we just discussed, the mobile market is boasting 4 massive console-quality releases.
Given all of that data, the strategic guide narrows it down to 3 immediate must-buy titles to help you prioritize your spending.
Here is the final verdict. Number 1, Crimson Desert. If you own a major console or a PC, this is the massive single-player epic you cannot miss. Number 2, Fatal Frame 2 Remake. If you have even a passing interest in psychological horror, this is your priority. And number 3, Marathon. But remember, only prioritize Marathon if you genuinely trust Bungie to deliver a stable, balanced extraction shooter on day one.
It is a phenomenal summary of a genuinely overwhelming month of releases. You have to budget your time and your funds with incredible precision to make it through March 2026.
Exactly. You've got the map now, so plan carefully, because the army of releases is ready and waiting.
This raises an important question, though. When you look closely at the data we've discussed today, there's a fascinating hidden pattern emerging across all these platforms. We are seeing the radical insertion of multiplayer and social elements into historically distinct or solitary spaces.
That's a really good point.
Look at Slay the Spire 2, adding cooperative play to a solitary mathematical deck builder. Look at Mario Wonder adding a 100-player live social hub to a traditionally linear 2D platformer. Look at Pokemon transforming its core single-player adventure into a massive social life simulator.
Yeah, the trend is undeniable.
Are we witnessing the slow death of the truly isolated gaming experience? As these massive franchises continue to blur the lines between single-player mechanics and massive social ecosystems, you really have to ask yourself, when you sit down and pick up the controller, what kind of digital world do you actually want to inhabit?
That is a brilliant point to leave you with as you map out your backlog. Thank you so much for joining us on this custom deep dive into the bloodiest month in gaming history. Stay safe out there, guard your wallets, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.